We've been looking at the principles of Christian giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We remind ourselves that the principles of Christian giving in 2 Corinthians 9 do not concern the support of the local church through the tithes and offerings of the people. They concern the collection for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. It is a one-time gift. Tithing is taken for granted. The giving in this chapter is for a special offering and is not intended to support the local church in Corinth. We've already seen in verses 1 through 5 that money was to be set aside in advance. We read there, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty," that is a gracious gift, "and not as of covetousness." In addition, we have seen in verse 6 that giving pays dividends. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Well, as we continue from last week, we see in verse 7 what Christian giving should be like. "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." In verse 7, Paul advises each believer to give as he determines in his heart, but he is not to give unwillingly or because he is coerced to give. Instead, God wants believers to give because they want to give, rather than because they feel like they have to give. This is not speaking of tithing, but of the collection for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. God expects every believer to tithe his income. Have you been in a place where every time they're going to take an offering, you hear a 3-minute plea for money? I heard it said that you preachers always need to tell the people for 3 minutes before each offering is taken a sermon regarding how much they need to give. I reject that teaching. I just want you to know that I find it repulsive. People who love the Lord give because they love the Lord, and let's leave it at that. Every man is each one or everyone, and it's not limited to adult males. It's every person. "According as" is "just as." "He purposeth" means that he reaches a decision beforehand. He chooses for himself. He commits himself to, he prefers, he undertakes, he determines He decides, or he makes up his mind. He determines this on his own, and is not forced or coerced into it. He purposeth in his heart, inasmuch as your heart does not typically do any thinking. It is in the sense of his mind that is understood, or in the sense that of his thought process. It is not something that is emotional or based on feeling. So let him give is implied in answer to according as he purposeth in his heart, and as indicated by the italics, has been supplied by the translators. It's implied in the context. It means that he must give in accordance with what he purposes in his heart. Then we see the words, not grudgingly. I have been in services where if I gave anything, it was going to have to be grudgingly because of what had been said from the pulpit. Not grudgingly indicates how a believer is not to give. It is literally not out of pain of mind or pain of spirit, not out of grief, not out of sorrow, or not out of affliction, and it implies not reluctantly. If I'm not supposed to give reluctantly, and I'm not, then don't put that guilt trip on me. I don't need somebody trying to tell me what I must do when I came prepared to give to the Lord's work. Nor of necessity. It says, out of necessity, out of constraint inherent in the nature of things, meaning out of pressure of any kind. So you should never hear pressure tactics in a local church for you to give more money. Four introduces the reason giving should not be grudgingly or out of necessity, and it's understood in the sense of because. I've told you previously that I remember seeing in I believe it was called Church Administration magazine, where an usher was handing an offering plate to a person in the congregation with his left hand and holding a gun in his right hand, pointing at the individual. Have you ever been in a service where it seemed like that? I have. I want nothing to do with it. In fact, if I were in that kind of church, I'd find a new church home. There should be no pressure because God loveth. God loves. The sort of love which gives itself on behalf of another without expecting anything in return. And what God loves is a cheerful giver. He does not want giving to be done grudgingly or out of necessity. I'm going to be critical again of some of my pastor friends. Speakers frequently note that the English characters for the Greek word translated cheerful when transliterated into English. Transliterated means that you take the Greek gamma and make it into a G. The Greek rho and make it into an R, and so on. Just you take the Greek letters and make them into their English equivalents. It is frequently noted that the characters of the Greek word translated cheerful, when transliterated into English, form the English word hilarious. So they tell you that God wants you to be a hilarious giver. Let me assure you that this is not proper to transliterate a word in this manner and assign an English meaning to it, even though it might sometimes seem to fit. An example of where this wrong practice might lead is that the Greek word meaning layman translates as idiot, which in most cases, but not in all cases, would render an inaccurate description of a layman. All right, be careful. Don't listen to that kind of explanation of the Greek text. I know a little bit more about Greek than the people using that kind of tactic. Cheerful giver suggests someone who gives cheerfully or gladly, in the sense of without reluctance. Giving hilariously is not what is meant by giving gladly, any more than laymen are idiots. A summary of giving on this special occasion for the offering of the impoverished saints in Jerusalem should be done here. It should be on a free will basis, meaning as he purposeth in his heart. It's a test of the sincerity and love that he has. It is the responsibility of the poor as well as of the wealthy. It should not be grudgingly, meaning reluctantly. It should not be of necessity, meaning out of compulsion. It should be cheerfully. As we move on into verses 8 through 15, we see the rewards of giving. First of all, in verses 8 through 11, we see that there is an increased ability to give. According to verse 8, God enables people to give who desire to give. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And God here is, and God the Father, is able suggests God's competence to do something in the sense of God is in a position to make all grace abound, meaning to cause all grace to exist in abundance, and means to cause all grace to abound. Grace is used here in the sense of favor. Toward you is unto you, Corinthian believers. That is understood in the sense of in order that or for the purpose that. The purpose is that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Ye may abound as you Corinthian believers may have an abundance. You may abound, you may be rich, or you may have ample means. Always suggests at all times. Having is because, since or inasmuch as you have all sufficiency, which indicates what the believers in Corinth may have or actually have. All sufficiency speaks of a state of having what is adequate, meaning to support yourself without aid from others, and suggests having enough of everything. Do we have enough of everything? God certainly has enabled us to have that and more. In all things as in everything, ye may abound to every good work is you may abound for every good deed or you may abound for every good accomplishment. When someone wants to give over and above his ability, God is able to enable him to do so. I remind you that God does not need your money. He's not going broke, all right? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You could change that to 1,000,000 hills. It won't make any difference. God has all the money he will ever need. And he got along without your money before you came on the scene. And after you're gone from the scene, he can still get along without your money or mine. But our giving comes from our hearts. Remember the poor widow in the Gospels who gave her two mites, the smallest coins in Roman thinking. And Jesus said that when she gave her two mites, she gave more than all the rich men who gave out of their abundance. You see, God was looking at her heart, not the dollars or the Roman whatever they were, not pesos either, but you know what I mean, whatever they call it in Latin. Ye may abound in every good work or deed or accomplishment. Verses 9 and 10 form a parenthetical statement, which means that the thought of verse 8 jumps to verse 11. It's continued in verse 11. Now you'll notice when that there are no parentheses in Greek. And so when you see a parenthetical statement, it means that the translators have inserted the parenthetical marks, okay, the parentheses. You know what they look like. Why do they use them? Because this does not advance the narrative. It offers an explanation. So, as we read verse 9, we see, as it is written, he that he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now in verse 9, Paul is quoting Psalm 112:9 in order to show that God is able to make all grace abound toward the Corinthian believers. Psalm 112:9 says, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor, as is just as, and introduces a comparison. It is written, is, it has been written, and it has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. What has been written is, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. He hath dispersed abroad, where he speaks of someone who fears the Lord. It is not speaking of the Lord. It is he dispersed abroad. It has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. It speaks of distributing in various directions in the sense he scattered abroad or he distributed. Here, more specifically, it is saying he hath given to the poor. And he refers to a generous person who fears the Lord. Hath given is gave. And it has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. To the poor speaks of the class or group of those who are needy. It suggests that they are obliged to work for a living, but are not reduced to begging. His righteousness, where his refers to the one who fears the Lord, is his uprightness. It does not refer to the Lord. Remaineth is remains, continues or abides, and its tense indicates that this is a timeless truth, something which is always true under all circumstances, forever, means that his righteousness will remain without ever coming to an end. It does not mean that he has attained righteousness by his generous giving. Instead, it means that his generous giving has demonstrated his righteousness as a genuinely saved individual. The result of his righteous deed will last throughout all eternity. And verse 10 completes the parenthetical statement that is begun in verse 9. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. In verse 10, Paul expresses his desire that the result of the Corinthian believers' righteousness in giving will be that God will increase his provision for their needs. Now, he that ministereth is now the one who conveys, the one who gives, or now the one who grants. This one is referring to God. And what he gives is seed. He gives it to the sower, to the one who sows or is sowing. There are three things Paul wishes God to do. One, to minister bread for your food. Two, to multiply your seed sown. And three, to increase the fruits of your righteousness. To minister is to provide, to supply, or to supply in abundance. Bread for your food is simply bread for food. And introduces the second thing Paul wishes God to do. To multiply your seed sown is to increase your seed sown, to increase your store of seed, which suggests your store of things to distribute to the needy. In other words, Paul desires that the seed which the Corinthians have sown be increased, so that they will be able to sow even more seed. In other words, as they give to others, he's requesting that God give additional to them to enable them to continue to give more. Another and introduces Paul's third wish for God to do. It is to increase the fruits of your righteousness. To increase suggests to cause to become greater, in the sense of to grow or to cause to grow. What? To grow what? The fruits of righteousness suggests the fruits produced by your righteousness or uprightness. As we return to the main thought, which we left at the end of verse 8, verse 11 indicates the result Paul desires for the Corinthian believers, that they may be bountifully enriched, which will result in thanksgiving being given to God, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Being enriched is understood in the sense of with the result that you are enriched. In everything is simply in every, and may be understood as in everything or as in every way. To all bountifulness suggests unto all bountifulness or unto all generosity, unto all liberality. He wants them to be enriched so that they can be even more generous, which refers to bountifulness, since understood in the sense of which to be sure, or which by its very nature causeth, is causing, is bringing about, is producing or is creating. Through us means through Paul. What bountifulness is producing is thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving suggests the rendering of thanks or the giving of thanks. And to God is to God the Father. It indicates that he is the one who is receiving the thanksgiving or being thanked. Paul is thanking God for the generosity of the Corinthian believers. And so eventually will the impoverished saints in Jerusalem be thanking God for the generosity of the Corinthian believers. As we move into verse 12, we see that there is increased thankfulness to God. Verse 12 is supplying the reason Paul desires God's blessing on the Corinthian believers. It is the ministry of the collection for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem provides the needs of the saints in Jerusalem and also results in many thanksgivings being given to God. As we give our many thanksgivings given to God, we support a lot of missionaries. We trust that they are thankful for what we give to them. We thank that the people they work with will be thankful also to those churches which are giving to the mission projects. We give to other things, and when we give, we hope that these people to whom we give will be giving thanksgiving to God. We're thankful for how God has blessed us. Verse 12 says, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." For, it's the word ordinarily translated because, and that's the sense in which you should understand it here. The administration of this service is simply the ministry of this service. It's speaking of Paul's ministry or service rendered in taking on himself the collection and delivery of this offering for the saints in Jerusalem. Not only, but also indicates two things accomplished by the collection. Supplieth suggests is supplying, is filling up or is replenishing. And what it is supplying or replenishing is the want of the saints, literally the wants, the needs, or the deficiencies of the saints, particularly the saints in Jerusalem. Their giving in Corinth is going to meet the needs of impoverished believers in Jerusalem. But introduces a statement in strong contrast to supplieth the wants of the saints, is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Is abundant suggests is extremely rich, is extremely abundant or is overflowing. Also suggests that in addition to supplying the want or the need of the saints, the collection for the saints will result in many thanksgivings being given to God by the saints in Jerusalem. Now, you know, and I know, that when the Corinthian believers give their financial contributions to the Apostle Paul and others carrying the financial contribution to Jerusalem, they'll never see what happens with that money. Just like when we give, we don't always see what's going to happen as a result of our giving. But we believe, as Paul says here, that the saints in Jerusalem will be sending thanksgivings to God for what has happened, though they will not know the specific source of where these monies came from, just a general source. By many thanksgivings unto God is through many thanksgivings to God, through many expressions of gratitude to God, or through many renderings of thanks to God. This gift will result in people in Jerusalem thanking God for providing their needs, and God is the one who's going to be blessed by this. Then, as we continue, we see in verses 13 through 15 that there is increased glory for God and the gospel. Verse 13 indicates that the saints in Jerusalem will approve this ministry on their behalf as a result of the Corinthian believers' generous contribution, not only to them, but to others as well. This will convince them of the genuineness of the salvation of the Corinthian believers. Whiles, by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. If you haven't already memorized verse 15, that would be a good one for you to commit to memory. And since there are only 8 words there, even the slowest of you should be able to handle that one with no difficulty. whilst they glorified God means while glorifying God the Father, or while they glorify God the Father by or through the experiment, refers to the experience of going through a test with special reference to the result. In other words, the proof or the character of this ministration, of this ministry, or of this service in gathering the collection from the Gentile churches and distributing it to the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. For your professed subjection is for the subjection or obedience produced by your confession unto the gospel of Christ, indicates what the Corinthians had subjected themselves to. It suggests that their profession of salvation expressed itself in obedience to its demands. The gospel of Christ is the good news about Christ. That is, that he died on the cross in payment for the sins of the whole world. He was buried, and he rose again from the dead on the third day. For your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ means that the saints in Jerusalem will be convinced of the genuineness of the salvation of the Corinthian believers. And for introduces a second thing for which the Jerusalem saints will be glorifying God. It is for your liberal distribution, which refers to the generous contribution made by the Corinthian believers on behalf of the saints in Jerusalem. Unto them refers to the impoverished saints in Jerusalem, and unto all men suggests that the Jerusalem saints were not the only recipients of the sincere or bountiful generosity of the Corinthian believers. It is literally unto all and is not limited to adult males. Men has been supplied by the translators in the sense of people, and this is indicated, of course, by the italics. Verse 14 goes on, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Verse 14 introduces two additional results of the believers in Corinth sending relief to the saints in Jerusalem. The saints in Jerusalem would first of all pray for the church in Corinth. And secondly, there would be feelings of affection for the believers in Corinth, which would be unusual for a group of Jewish people to have affection for a group of Gentile believers. And by their prayer for you is by their prayer on behalf of you, and indicates that the Jerusalem saints will be praying for the Corinthian believers, which long after you suggests who are longing after you, Corinthian believers, for the exceeding grace of God in you. It's because of God's extraordinary favor on you, Corinthian believers, to enable you to give generously to aid the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. Well, we read in verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In verse 15, as Paul concludes his discussion of the principles of Christian giving, he cannot help but rejoice in the greatest gift of all time, God's unspeakable gift in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross to provide for the salvation of all people. Thanks or gratitude is a response to what God has given. As indicated by the italics, B has been supplied by the translators. Of course, it's implied in the context. Be unto God is simply to God, specifically to God the Father. For his unspeakable gift speaks of his indescribable gift of salvation in sending Christ to die on the cross in payment for the sins of all humanity. Something you and I should never forget to do is to thank God for his providing for our eternal redemption. So, as believers, let's give our tithes to our local church, and let's give over and above our tithes as the Lord enables us. But let's realize that although it's easy to tire of financial statements, they do have their proper place. Let's realize that giving returns dividends. Let's realize that we need to have the right attitudes in giving, that giving is to be free will, and that it is not to be done reluctantly or out of compulsion, but cheerfully. Let's realize that our giving brings an increased ability to give, increased thankfulness to God, and increased glory for God and the gospel. And let's also always give thanks for God's unspeakable gift, for his indescribable gift of salvation in sending Christ to die on the cross in payment for our sins, as well as for the sins of all humanity. How blessed we are. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the gift that you have given us of eternal salvation, forgiveness for the sins that we have committed. Help us, our Father, out of appreciation for what you have done for us, to live the rest of our lives exclusively for thee. Bless these dear people who are here in the auditorium tonight, as well as those who could not be here because of traveling or illness. And bless those who are out beyond the reaches of our local church area but are listening on the internet. Meet their needs as well. Help them likewise to be thankful for all that you have done for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.